Peter in chapter 2. We are continuing our mindset series this morning. I'm going to ask you to, again, just by way of introduction, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. When you're there, let's stand, if you will, if we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Begin with me toward the end of the chapter in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your precious and pure word. We ask that you to apply to our hearts and our lives this morning, dear God. I pray that you would speak to us deeply, Lord. I pray that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds. Lord, I ask you, Lord, this morning to make a difference in our days. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and thank you for who and what you are. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated, if you will. There was a stranger that approached a preacher one time saying, "I don't like your preaching. I do not care for you preaching on the cross. I think instead of preaching on the death of Christ on the cross, it would be far better for you to preach Jesus, the wonderful teacher and great example." Man of God looked at the man in his eyes and he said, "Would you be willing to follow him if I preach Christ the example?" The young man said, "Most certainly I would. I would definitely follow in his steps if you would preach Christ the example." The old man of God looked and said, "Then let us take the first steps. Who did no sin, can you take that step?" Stranger looked confused. He says, "No, I can't do that. I do sin. I acknowledge, I confess, I admit that I sin." So preacher just simply looked at him and said, "Well then, your first deed of Christ is not as example, but as Savior." You see, beloved, as saved, born-again individuals today in this world that we live in, that we have the honor and privilege to live in, Christ has been our example. Jesus is our teacher on how to live. And when we look throughout His precious and pure Holy Scriptures, we learn of eternal salvation and how we can share such eternal salvation with those that are around us. We learn of dispensational teachings and gather and collect the ability to rightly divide the word of truth so that we're not applying a doctrine that does not apply for us today. We can look at the whole scripture. We can see the fulfillment of prophecy and those yet to be fulfilled. And yet, one of the greatest lessons through it all is how to live in this present world. How to make the decisions, how to become disciplined, and how to gather the direction we need in this life. We begin our next step in this mindset series. We build upon what we heard last week concerning the order of our direction. Beloved, there's a direction that needs to be in our life. There's a disciplined mindset. There's a decisions that must be made. And they are to carry us into this direction that we should perform in our days. But we find that once we have our direction in order and our steps are ordered of the Lord, beloved, we are faced up front with the objective. There is an objective, my friend. There is a purpose to our existence. No one, and I mean absolutely positively, no one has been placed in this world without a purpose. No one at all. No one's an accident. Everything's an incident. God did not make a mistake when He made you and brought you here. And for that matter, He didn't make a mistake when He brought you here the way you are. He brought you into this world with an objective, just the way you are this morning. Now, collectively speaking, God's creation has a purpose, has an objective to bring Him glory. Whatever state we're in, wherever we may be, when a person is saved and born again, they are to bring glory unto God. However, just because everyone has an objective, just because everyone has a purpose in this life, and God has deemed it so, it does not mean that everyone is or has fulfilled it. It doesn't mean everyone has made the right decisions to go in the correct direction for the objective God has given him. Matter of fact, many have missed the mark. Many have made mistakes. Many of them have corrected those mistakes, while as others have not. Paul makes reference in his final letter that he writes of an Old Testament event concerning Moses. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, saying, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith." Now it was never God's will for Jannes and Jambres to withstand Moses, yet they did that. It was never their objective. It was never God's purpose in their life for those two men to withstand and rebel against Moses and the Word of God, and yet they still did that. They missed the mark. By the time Paul writes this final letter, no end of his days upon this earth are drawing near. They're drawing short. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now, beloved, now this is Paul's last letter. He's days away, potentially, maybe months away, from losing his life and being ushered into glory. He writes his final letter by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he makes this statement in there that Demas hath forsaken me. And the reason he did, because he loved this present world. And yet Paul writes, when he writes to Philemon much before this time, he mentions Demas and he says this, "Marcus Aristarchus, Demas Lucas, my fellow laborers." So we find Paul writing in one letter, Demas, this fellow laborer of mine. Lucas is obviously Luke, Marcus is John Mark, and Aristarchus is who he is. Something changed. There was a time when Demas was doing right. There was a time when Demas was walking in the right direction. He was fulfilling the objective God had given him. He was fulfilling the purpose that God had laid out for him. There was a time that his objective was being fulfilled, pursued, if you will, but he stopped. He stopped. We're all aware, we're all privy to the great contention that divided the greatest missionary team that we ever find in the Bible, Paul and Barnabas. It's recorded in Acts chapter 15, and again, all these are on the screen, you can read them. Verses 37 and 38, the Bible says, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." Now here's the deal. Here's another one. Missed the mark. He made a mistake. I mean, John Mark was potentially walking in the right direction, and we can argue the point that John Mark was never prepared for the mission field, and I tend to lean that direction. He was not ready to get out there on the mission field in Acts chapter 13 with Paul and Barnabas. He wasn't prepared for it. That's my position on that thing, but nevertheless, he missed the objective. Things change. Leadership roles change. It was Barnabas and Saul that all of a sudden became Paul and his company. The leadership roles changed. It changed. It was no longer Uncle Barnabas. It was this guy named Paul who was just a handful of years ago or a decade ago was trying to kill the Christians. And now with the same zeal and excitement and fervor, he's trying to win people to Christ. He said, "This guy, he's casting blindness on people." You know, and John Mark said, "You know what? I'm going to go home to Mama. Things will be better if I just go home to Mama." And what he did was he missed his objective. He messed up, made a mistake. He left the mission field, and by leaving the mission field, went home to Mama. And he lived under the stigma for the next two decades that he was the one that forsook Paul on the mission field. And this great missionary team here, Paul and Barnabas, in Acts 15, prepare to go to their second mission trip, their next mission journey, and Barnabas said, "I want to take my nephew with me. I think it'll be good." Paul said, "Hang on now. He already departed and left us once before. We're not quite sure he can be trusted. Is he yet ready?" He goes, "I think it not good." And there's a great contention. And they separated one from another. We have no record whatsoever. Paul and Barnabas ever got together once again. We know that Barnabas went home to where his home island of Cyprus. He went back to Cyprus. And as far as we know, he never left there. As a matter of fact, he disappeared off the pages of church history. One may even surmise that Barnabas messed up, that he made a mistake. Now, I think Barnabas was in the wrong in Acts 15, but that's an argument for another day. Now, undoubtedly, he went home to serve the Lord. But John Mark was a young man, had many years ahead of him. In the same letter that Paul states the fact that Demas forsook him, his final letter, in the same letter where Paul says that Demas loved this present world more than he loved the world to come of God, more than he did the work of God, more than he did the ministry of God, he loved this present world. And you can even say that he loved sin for a season, if you will. He forsook Paul. But in the very same letter, this is what Paul says of John Mark. He says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, watch this, and bring him with thee, for he's profitable unto the ministry. He's profitable to me unto the ministry. What this shows, my friend, is that we have an objective which gives us our direction in life. And we need to choose as to whether or not we are going to obey God in this objective and follow Him in the direction that He has given us, that He has borne witness with our heart, or whether or not we're going to do things our way, the way that we want to, the way we may feel like we should do. We all have an objective. And that objective that the Lord has given us is what determines our direction. We've seen examples of those who have fallen off the way and repented and got back on. We've seen those that have forsaken and went the wrong direction and never seen to get back on the mark. As mentioned last week, such direction in our life as a child of God, such direction comes with an order. It's ordered of the Lord, number one, but it must be in order as well. There's a structure to it. There's a pattern. There's a path. We have plans. We have visions. We have goals. We have them within the disciplined mind. There are decisions that must be made and made correctly to set the bar, to be better, and to blame not. And then the next step is that the direction in our life, there's an order to it. Blessed is the man whose steps are ordered by the Lord. We understand. But now the objective is where it comes, the purpose of our direction. Taking the correct steps first is where we must find the objective that God has for us in our life. To what purpose are we called to follow in His steps, as we read there in 1 Peter? Our Lord, my friend, is a compassionate, loving, and all-knowing, all-powerful God. We need to understand that He is not going to take us in a direction that is not going to be for our benefit or His glory. Our God's not a cruel God to leave us without guidance in this life. Jesus Christ had a twofold purpose, or a twofold objective, if you will, for coming to this earth and performing the works that He did. First, it was to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That is Christ's purpose for coming to this world. That was His reasoning behind coming to this earth, was to seek and to save that which is lost. And yet, in doing so, we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 that the Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Beloved, this was the objective of Christ. This was His objective in His work on this earth. He came and He conquered. So as we examine our objective, and the fact that He is an example unto those that have already been saved, that we must understand that as a church, as the bride of Christ, that we have a collective objective to see souls born again for Jesus Christ, to witness in the greatest gift given to mankind, and that is the gift of salvation. Christ is the example to follow, and is being successful in life, to be successful in our days. That sounds wonderful, that sounds great, but that all comes after salvation. Amen. The greatest gift that we can ever give to anyone is that gift of being born again. But at the same time, There is an objective in the direction of our lives as well. Each one of us have an individual direction that we need to take that works for that collective goal that Christ has given us, that collective purpose. There is the will of God, both corporately and individually, that we must seek. Now remember in Romans chapter 12, as we've used so long in this series, that there must be a renewed mind in order to prove what is a good, perfect, acceptable will of God. The disciplined mind is the key in which leads to the decisions from whence we develop our direction. Without the first two, we're just floating in life. Without the first two, we're just swinging, trying to hopefully hit something and make contact. So often in our life, we find people that will jump the gun. They'll make a claim that that they're going to do this or do that, and even say that they're following the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, unknowingly exactly where the Holy Spirit may lead them or what He may require of them. There's no doubt in my mind that everyone in this church this morning who is saved and born again, that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to your heart in some way, shape, form, or fashion. To the very least, He spoke to your heart the need of salvation. I believe that to be true. The question is what have we done with what the Lord has spoken to us? How have we reacted when the Lord bore witness upon our heart on what we should do, what our objective is in this life? Now, there are things that we know that we are to do as a Christian, and yet it's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy to not do what the Lord has committed to us in this life. It's so easy just to fall by the wayside, if you will, if we're not careful. Beloved, in following Jesus Christ, we find different phases that He carries us through. Stages, if you will, in this life to get to that direction that He wants us to be in. You know, we experience things in order to grow as a Christian, as a child of God. We don't only grow through reading and through prayer, but we grow through experience. These stages are the direction the Lord leads us in, and He leads us through, mind you. And they are there for our benefit, they are there for our growth, they are there for our development. They are there to be associated with the direction that we must take. To having the right mind in our life. I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 13, and that's where we'll stay the rest of the morning, if you will. John in chapter 13. And we're going to look at a handful of scriptures here, maybe just two or three scriptures here this morning. And we're going to see three phases, three stages of our life. Some are very uncomfortable, that the Lord brings us to and will bring us through in order to develop us in the right mindset so that we will take the correct direction and the objective that the Lord has given us in this life. John in chapter 13, and we're going to be down toward the very end of the chapter. We're going to look at the last three verses. John chapter 13 and verse 36, the Bible says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou cannot follow me, shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now, beloved, I want to just throw something out here before we get into these three sub-points this morning. I think that was probably a shock to Peter's system. Peter said, I don't think Peter was insincere in his statement. I'll lay my life down for you. They'd already been through this situation once before, Peter and the Lord has. But we find that there's a direction that Peter's missing in this point. There's some stages that needed to occur in Peter's life, and just like it has to occur in our life, in order to have fulfill the objective that God has given us so that we can take the correct direction to do so. Peter's getting ready to miss the mark. Peter's getting ready to deny Jesus Christ 3 times, and yet I believe it was a shock to him. I think it blew him out of the water when the Lord said that. In my heart of hearts, I picture Peter standing back going, "Hang on, what? Did I just hear you correctly? I'm going to deny you 3 times. You mean that chicken's not going to crow? You know, until I deny you 3 times? What does that mean?" You see, what we find in John chapter 13 is that following Jesus Christ, when you are following the Lord, when you're going in the direction that the Lord wants you to go into, the direction that He is leading you into, there's a stage within the obedience of Christ. There's a stage within that disciplined mindset, having made those decisions to fulfill that objection and taken the right direction. There's a stage that we don't like to go to, and that's called a stage or a phase of stillness. A phase of stillness. Look at verse 36 with me. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither thou goest?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me." What's that very next word? "Now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards." You know, the Lord tells us at times to stop, to be still, to slow down. He doesn't tell us to stop giving. He doesn't tell us to stop serving. He doesn't tell us to stop witnessing, but to simply stop moving in the manner that we want to go. And oftentimes, these stages in our life, these phases, they seem to be stale, almost stagnant, if you will. They seem to move very slowly and meaningless. As a matter of fact, we probably should trust the Lord more. To just obey God in the midst of the Christian life. When it seems like nothing's moving around us, this is the objective within the stillness of life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get too still, I get nervous, I get anxious, I have to kind of start moving a little bit. I know another child of mine that's identical to that. I'll say no names, I'll let you figure it out. But it's natural to me. It's natural to where I don't like to be still. But there's times when God says be still, stop, slow down. And that's the objective. That's the direction. There's a reason for it. Too often, many times, we begin to feel this. We see this time approaching. We feel it coming in. And we start pushing ahead. We begin to muscle into the ministry or muscle the work or muscle things in our life. We make changes when we should not. We think that we can force our way through despite the direction of God's stillness in His hand. Listen carefully to the verse that we read. There's a reason we enter into this place of stillness. There's a reason why you and I enter into these days of what we consider to be stale, but God is just saying be still. The Lord told Peter, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." He did not tell Peter that he would never be able to go there, just he couldn't go now. As a matter of fact, Christ moved on to tell him afterwards that he would follow him eventually, just not now. When the Lord gives a time for us to stand still, it's often, if not always, only a delay, but not a denial. In our example here, we know the end of the story. We know that the Lord was working a far much greater work than ever before. When He said, "Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now." Peter would come and would meet Christ on the other side of glory some 30 plus years later. But for the time being, the Lord just said, "Be still." For the time being, He says, "You can't go with me now because there's work that needed to be done in order for Peter to come later on." Jesus had to go to the cross, be buried in the grave 3 days, rise again, go to prepare a place that you read about in the next chapter. All that had to be done. Peter, he just said, "Peter, listen, whether I go, you can't go now." Doesn't mean you can't go at all. It's just a time to be still. It's a direction in our life to fulfill the objective that God has given us. This was the time of stillness, but the objective was the same. This direction was working in Peter's life, but the direction was the same. But there was no movement during this time. No movement at the moment, but the direction was still the same. And how often have we felt the hand of the Lord to tell us to wait, to stop, or just to sit still? He may be trying to teach us patience in our life. He may be trying to teach us servitude or obedience in our life. He may be trying to teach us giving or just basic worship. He's not saying you can't go. He's just saying you can't go right now. James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work with patience. So, beloved, when we're moving in the direction to fulfill the objective in our life and living for the Lord Jesus Christ, there comes a time in our days that the Lord just wants you to be still. He just wants you to be still and know that I am God. Secondly, we find that often in these days of stillness, many of us will begin to strive. Look at verse 37 with me, if you will. It says, Peter said to him, look, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now here's the deal. Instead of listening to what the Lord said, instead of listening to everything that Jesus was saying unto Peter, he fired back with a rebuttal. Now I'm going to give you an illustration here of exactly what happened that day. And how often do we do this? Despite what the Word of God says, or the Lord has laid on our heart, we say, oh yeah, well, I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to go here. I'll show you. I know that I can get it done. You want me to be still, but I want to go. And we end up messing up, don't we? We went through many examples that we've already seen that. John Mark went home off the mission field. Demas forsook Paul. John Mark repented and got his testimony back. We find nothing of that of Demas. Barnabas didn't listen to the man of God. What happened? Just disappeared off the pages of church history. Good example here is this. Notice if you double back with me to the verse where Christ says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. All right, now you just read that with me, did you not? This is what Peter heard. Whither I go, thou canst not. You know what he did? He didn't hear another word after that. He didn't hear it. How often do we hear the first four or five words of a statement, and then we start building a case in our mind of why we can do what we want to do, rather than listening to the whole bit? We start working a rebuttal in our heart. We start working a defense system. God was saying, didn't hear the rest. I just want you to be still. I'm not telling you stop, just be still. And the first thing we do, we hear ST, and we finish it up by saying OP, and the Lord is saying, I double L. And what do? Listen, I'll lay my life down for you. Most certainly I can't go where you're going to go. I'll die for you. I'll show you, Jesus. I'll just die and go there with you. Peter was saying in his heart. The Lord's saying, look, you're going to go. Just not now. I got the direction. You have an objective in this life, and you're going to fulfill that objective of what I've laid upon your heart and what I've given you. You'll do it, but you're just not going to do it right now. There's some things you got to learn. That's having the right mindset, guys, and direction. Knowing that there's a direction that goes in order. Knowing that it must be ordered by the Lord, but there's an objective that there is to be fulfilled. And each one of our objectives will bring glory to God, but it's the objective that God has to put on our heart. And sometimes He says, I want you to be still so that you can learn it. The Bible says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Unto all men, after teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God, peradventure, will give the repentance and the acknowledging of the truth. They will recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him and His will. As a servant of the Lord, we must not strive. And this is not the sense that we have, that we've heard about striving for the mastery or striving to finish the race. This is the sense that you read here about striving, that of to quarrel or to fight. And when we refuse the hand of God in our life, we are literally fighting against God. When we refuse to sit still and learn from the Lord, we are literally quarreling against the Lord. We battle His holy and precious hand that is there only our protection. Peter was not lying when he made this statement. Rather, he revealed his ignorance and not knowing himself. I mean, who knows us better than the Lord? No one. He knows our very being. He knows everything that encompasses us. He knows our life here and end and the next. So, beloved, sometimes you just got to listen. You got to be still and not strive. Think about it. Peter got himself in a mess, didn't he? Peter got himself in a load of trouble just by not listening. If we will just listen, we'll hear the Lord's objective for our life. He speaks in terms that we must. Under to the same hand of the Holy Spirit of God, the hand is laying out a time of stillness in our life. The hand that is in our life that we must not strive against. It's a time in our life that we must stand. If we will accept the time of stillness, if we will accept the time that the Lord has given us and strive not, we will stand for the Lord when we begin to hear what He would have us to hear and what He would have us to do in our life. Look in verse 38 and notice this with me in John chapter 13. Jesus answered him and says, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou has denied me thrice." Peter denied Jesus Christ three times, and this is true. But if he would just have listened to the Lord, if he would have just allowed the time of stillness to work in his life as he did later on, he would have never denied Jesus Christ. And therefore, he would never have the consequences that came in his life of the loss of the discipleship for 3 days and three nights. Remember, the Lord said to Mary, Tell his disciples and Peter, go and tell. There are more times than we think in our life today that we need to just listen and learn to what Christ is saying. Trust in what He's doing in places that we can see not. There's reasons for the stillness. There are times in this life that we must stand and serve by surrendering to His will, even and especially when it contradicts our own desires, even when it may go against our own dreams. To be still is to stand upon the perfect hand and precepts of the Word of God and allow Him to direct you in an orderly fashion to achieve His objective. Peter later on says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, "For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Better if the will of God be so. Peter knew that firsthand. Peter knew it firsthand. The Lord had told him, "You're going to deny me three times." And I'm sure Peter's like, "Whoa, hey, I bet I'm no, I'm not." The Lord said, "You can't go with me right now." "Oh yeah, I'll die. I'll show you." Later on, many years later, Peter says, it's better if the will of God be so. Beloved, that's the direction in the right mindset. That's the direction that we find, that the direction is to be given by way of an order of the Lord and ordered by the Lord. The direction has an objective, and always that objective is going to be rooted and grounded somewhere, somehow, and bringing glory to God. Bringing glory to Him in that which we do in this life. By honoring His Word with our family, with our friends, and even, yes, with our foes. That direction is going to come through a disciplined mindset. That direction is going to come through making the hard decisions. That direction is going to come by being still striving not, but standing upon the precious Word of God. Will you bow your heads for that? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and for who and what you are. We thank you for your message this morning. We pray that it would be a blessing unto those that have and will hear it. I pray, dear God, that you would move in a mighty way and help us develop the right mindset in our life, that we may take the right direction in the days that you've allotted for us on this earth. Give us guidance and grace, and let us waste not moments and minutes in our days, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that God has been good to you this morning, preaching and teaching of His Word. And we're going to stand here for our closing hymn here in just a second. So I ask you to take a look. Hymnal out.